Anyway, it's good to be here with you guys this morning. I do want to tell you this message I have this morning. I had somebody ask me last night, am I pulling out like Jason's greatest hits or my best message? Honestly, I don't even know what that would be, to tell you the truth. And so I didn't pull out something from the archives for you. This is something the Lord's had on my heart. I actually had it on my heart before the committee picked me. So I told them they were slow but worth the wait, and I'm glad it all worked out. And so I want to share something with you this morning that's been on my heart. But this is an awkward Sunday for us. You're voting on the next several years of my life. No pressure. You know, but it was hard for the committee. You're taking all these people you don't know, you never met, and it starts with a piece of paper, and then you finally get to video. And it's really like Miss America and American Idol had a baby, and that's kind of what this process is like. I tell people, pastoral search committees have a tough job. The pastoral candidates have a tough job because we have to sort of apply for a job. We don't even know if we want it yet. It's like being in a beauty contest. I don't even know if I want to win it yet, but I'm in, at least for a while, because you find out about each other. It's kind of like dating. You know, take a wild time. Anybody ever dated in this room before? Okay. God bless you. I see you have the gift of hand raising. That's awesome. That's really helpful. But it's kind of like dating. You're getting to know the person, and then has anybody ever bailed out after the first date or a couple of dates? Ladies, how many bailed out during the middle of the date? Do we have anybody that you went to the bathroom and you never came back from the pizza ranch? You got lost on the ranch? Okay. And so it's kind of like that as you're getting to know each other, but we had a very specific things we were looking for our church, and we felt like Vermilion fit those, and so it was quite a process. So now we've kind of made it to the Hollywood stage, past the elimination stage, and so this is it, America. You're voting on us today. Hashtag Team Reasoner. Please don't mess it up. But it's great to be here. So I'm going to do my best now to get locked in. That may be the only fun we had this morning was the last 5 minutes, but. But I believe the Lord gave me this message for you, for this church. Even if this goes sideways, you guys realize I'm bald and left-handed and don't vote for me, okay, I still believe this message is for you today. That's the only way I know how to approach a service. Okay, so I you know, listen, we hope you like us. When I speak to a church, my starting point is, Lord, what do you want today? I don't really know how to impress people on purpose. If I do, it happens by accident. That's just, I'm just being honest with you, okay? But so today I feel like I have something that some of you need to hear today, this church, individuals. And so we're going to start here with this question. I like to open with a question. That way you are not just passive listeners. You can kind of get your brain going. Do we have any students in campus this weekend? Any students? Anyone looking at each other trying to figure if you're a student? Okay, thank you. So school, maybe classes haven't started. You just moved in. But we're going to start with a question this morning. Have you ever had a guest stay too long? Related, yes, I heard that. Thank you. We're about to get Pentecostal back there. All right. Yes, we've all experienced this probably in our life sometimes, whether you're an adult, you know, family comes. Family can be awkward. Family can be weird. You love them, but how many love when they leave as well? Yes. God bless you. Thank you. This is like an auction in here. Okay. Yeah, we've experienced that. And students, have you ever anybody camp out maybe on your couch in your parents' basement, you know, or your dorm room? We experienced that before. Yeah, they don't leave. Okay, you have some good times. Maybe there's a little conflict, but we've experienced that. Now, Pastor Jan and I have bonded over our love of classic cinema. And by classic cinema, I mean like Lucha Libre films, like Nacho Libre. It's a passion that we both share, apparently. But adults, you may have experienced a guest like this, Cousin Eddie. This is a classic film, so if you're young, you may not know this, but maybe you've streamed it at some point. You know, Cousin Eddie, that guest that won't leave and turns the holidays upside down, okay? Make a little bit of enjoyment, but we're ready for him to go. And how about this next one? Students, this is for you. You know, you've got a friend that wears a onesie, apparently, or a snuggie, whatever that is, and they don't leave, okay? You have the friend that wakes up maybe in your dorm room or on your couch. They got Cheetos on their chest with drool running down their face. Okay, guests can be fun for a while, but at a certain point, it's time for them to leave. All right? You look at them and go, we've had some good times, maybe some friction, but you were never supposed to stay this long. And Cornerstone, I think I'm here to tell you, if this is the only thing I ever tell you, or the first of many, that there's a point in our walk with Christ where the Lord looks at us and goes, you know what, you stayed here too long. And this is not a message just for the church. This is a message for individuals. This is a message for families. Like, listen, you've stayed too long. And we're going to look at that this morning because there comes a time when it's time to move. We can become stuck in our lives. We can become stuck in our relationship with the Lord. But there's time when it's time to go. It's time to move. And so we want to look at that this morning with you. And so I want to pray before we go any further. And we've already prayed. Let's just pray that God would guide us and direct what I'm saying, what you're hearing, and work upon all of our hearts. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence that is here. And we thank you for the promise of your presence when your people get together. And we thank you that this is not just any other day. This is the day that you have made. And this goes beyond any type of vote or any type of decision, Lord, even though that may be weighing on us. But God, this is the day where we want to meet with you. We want your word to challenge us. We want your word to change us. God, don't let us leave the same way. God, whether we have followed you for many years or maybe we're still trying to figure out if we want to follow you and give our lives to you. God, I pray that you have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning in the book of Deuteronomy. All right, Deuteronomy is a book in the Old Testament. Many of you are familiar with. It's towards the beginning. If you don't know where it's at, start in the middle and go left, and you'll find it. But Deuteronomy really is a retelling of the law in parts of Israel's history by Moses. This was during a time when Moses was beginning to transition leadership to Joshua. Okay, there's going to be a leadership change, and that's really not where I'm going today. But what I want to focus on is a command that the Lord gave Moses. And Moses is reviewing this as he's speaking to the nation of Israel. And so we're going to start at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, Moses began to expound this law, saying, The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to their descendants after them. And so here we see Moses reviewing this command and promise that he gave to the Israelites. And I want to highlight three phrases that come out in this passage. He says, you've stayed at this long enough at this mountain. Okay? And he tells him, you've got to break camp, advance, and take possession. And so I want to pull these out of this passage, and we're going to look at those this morning. So the Lord is telling Moses, man, you guys got to go. It's time to move. There's something else that I need to do in your lives. There's something else I need to do in you and for you as a nation. And he gives us the three steps that he tells the Israelites to do. It's break camp, advance, and take possession. We want to look at those this morning. We're really going to camp out mostly on this first point. But I think it's a very valuable point because a lot of us get stuck in our personal lives at this point. So number one, break camp. The Lord tells Moses, I mean, you've got to break camp. And why would this be the first question? Okay, I'm going to ask you to think again. I know it's Sunday, it's early, you've had a donut. Why would he ask us to break camp first? Anyone? Okay. I think there's a lot of reasons why he asked us to do this first. But breaking camp is also the hardest part of these three things. Breaking camp. Okay, so we think about the time that the Israelites had at this mountain. You know, there's good times, there's bad times. We think about the guests, okay? Good times, bad times, but it's time to go. All right? And so the Lord tells them, you have got to break camp because in order to move ahead, you've got to tear down or break or change or just pack up where you've been, all right? You've got to do it. And so I know this is, as a church, you're probably thinking, what does he mean? I'll show up on day one with a bulldozer and tear this whole place down and just change everything you know and love. No, I'm not trying to scare you, okay? This goes beyond Cornerstone. This goes to our lives, our individuals and families. So we've got to break camp. There's got to be a change. There's got to be a letting go of the past in order to move forward. And so when we became a follower of Jesus, this is the first thing that we embraced. Okay, Jesus talks about the cost to following him in Luke chapter 9. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. And so this shouldn't be a new concept for us as believers, this concept of breaking camp, this concept of breaking away and turning loose of the past. Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57, it says, As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. You know, I love Jesus. I hope you do too. Sorry, that wasn't all I was going to say, but that sounded like a good place to stop. But I love his conversations with people because he's much different in Scripture than sometimes we view him as believers or we view him in the world. We think he's this cosmic Santa Claus that's just up there to dispense whatever we want at a given moment as long as it's good and what we want. But I love when people come to Jesus and they think they've sort of arrived, okay? And he has a way of kind of putting us in our place, okay? But it's in a good way because he wants to move us forward. That's the whole point. So this guy says, hey, I will follow you wherever you go. And look at his response. He said, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Like, okay, great. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'll be homeless, all right? The birds are better off than me. The foxes are better off than me. So you'd be homeless, okay? And so to another, he said, me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And this sounds like a reasonable request. Like, hey, I need to go take care of something. And most people believe, this is interpreted as his father's not dead yet, actually, but he's going to die soon. He knows it. So I'm just going to hang out at the homestead till my father passes away. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. Which sounds kind of mean. Jesus is mean sometimes. But he says, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And he continues, another said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And so here we have a promise of potentially being homeless, of neglecting your family. But Jesus said, hey, that's the cost. And Jesus was not above using hyperbole, and maybe he was here, but the point is very clear. Follow me, you've got to break camp. In order to follow me, you've got to turn loose of whatever held you in the past. You have to make sure that following me is the first and foremost thing in your life. And in order to do that, you've got to be willing to break camp. You've got to be willing to let go. You've got to be willing to tear it down if necessary. And so Jesus paints quite a picture of what it means to be one of his followers, quite a picture of what it means to be his disciple. You know, breaking camp is hard because sometimes a lot of good stuff happened at the camp. Sometimes bad stuff happened at the camp. Sometimes there's very mixed memories, mixed things that happened there. The mountain that the Israelites were staying, I mean, it was a place of victory, but it was also a place of failure. You know, many times we don't want to leave the good old days, even if the good old days have already left us. Listen, I'm not just talking about a church. I'm talking as families and individuals. We get nostalgic for something that has already left us, but we want to hang on to it desperately. And maybe it's a place of defeat, and that may sound weird, like I want to hang on to defeat, and we don't really want to hang on to defeat, but we're more scared of the unknown than we are staying in the midst of a defeat. Many times the comfort of the familiar will keep us from the potential of the future. And so, church, the first thing we're asked to do as believers, the first thing the Lord asked Moses to do was like, tell your people they've got to break camp first. Listen, many people will never break camp in their lives and discover what God has for them because they're always looking back. They're always looking back. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't even matter. They're always looking back. You know, as we've gone through the process here at Cornerstone, you know, we have to think about moving and all this stuff. We've got our boys here and the animals. Can we just put them in a trailer together and get them up here? I mean, you know, we're thinking about all this stuff. You know, most of you, if not all, have moved before, and you think about the process of moving. And so I'm thinking about what that would look like for us, Amy, if we just refuse to break camp. You know, I've got the U-Haul in the driveway, and Amy's like, come on, get these boxes out. Man, I've sorted them. I've color-coded them. And she will, by the way. And she's got an Excel spreadsheet. Everything's labeled and marked, got special codes. I don't even know all the secret handshakes going on here. And so she's ready. She's like, okay, load the truck. It'd be like us with the truck on the drive. Like, nah, I can't do it. That chair belongs in that living room. I can't imagine another living room that chair would look so good in. All right? This is where I watched the Chiefs. Amen. Hallelujah. All right? That's the TV. I don't want to do that anywhere else. So that seems ridiculous, but church, we can get to that point in our lives where, like, you know what? I'm not going to break camp. I'm just not going to do it. just not going to do it. Like students, you're intimidated to come to school for the first time. You remember when you're a freshman moving on campus, if you just refuse to leave the house, like, I'm not, Mom, Dad, I'm not loading the futon on top of the SUV. That'd be quite a sight anyway, but just not going to do it. So breaking camp is the first thing that we have to do to move forward with the Lord. The guy says, you've been at this mountain long enough that it's time to go. It's time to move because I've got something else for you. I briefly want to look at what happened at the mountain so we understand the significance of this mountain for these people. The mountain was a place of calling. Moses encountered the burning bush there in Exodus chapter 3. It was a place of instruction where the law was given. It was a place of provision where water came from the rock for the nation of Israel in Exodus chapter 17. It was a place of rebellion when they got impatient with the Lord and with Moses and they decided, like, hey, let's take all our jewelry and we're going to cast a golden calf because that seems like a better idea than the God who speaks from the top of the mountain, and we're going to worship it. This was a place of rebellion and a place of failure. But it was also a place of presence where the tent of meeting was made and the tabernacle where God's presence came in the midst of their camp in a tangible way. Like, how could we leave that? It doesn't get any better than that. But they still had to break camp because there was a promise to be fulfilled about this land. There was a promise, man. There was a temple that was going to be built that was going to be better than the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. There was something better, but they would never see it unless they broke camp. The Apostle Paul writes about this and echoes Jesus' word concerning us following him. And he's comparing his old life versus his new life, his old priorities versus his new priorities. Look at what Apostle Paul writes in the Church of Philippi, chapter 3. He says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. For the Apostle Paul, when he became a follower of Jesus, and it happened in a very dramatic way, many of you know the story, but it's like, what he's saying is, listen, my old life, man, that's garbage compared to what I have now. I wouldn't want to go back to that. Why in the world would I want to hang on to that? I mean, it's garbage compared to what I've gained in Christ and going forward with him. And so coming into relationship with God requires a changing of allegiances. It requires a changing of loyalties. And the Apostle Paul describes that here very, very eloquently. And listen, that conversion moment, and it is more than just a weepy moment at an altar and an apology. Okay? It can contain that, and that's very appropriate, and that's very right. But if that's all it ever is, there's a chance you're not even truly converted. It is a changing of allegiances, a breaking of the camp with your old life, a breaking camp of the old, and embracing the new. It's a changing of loyalties. It is going all in with Jesus. And so even after that moment of conversion, church, that never stops. There is a continual process of going all in with him that never stops. We are often breaking camp as believers. We are often moving from glory to glory. And so after telling the Israelites to break camp, the next thing he tells them to do, should I smile if you're taking a picture? Is that okay? Because, I mean, I can suck it in a little bit if I need to. All right. Excuse us. I'm sorry. I'm talking with my wife. It's not a big deal. She's cute. It's hard to ignore. Number two. Did you see that? Students, see that? I should have finished college. I'm just kidding. I did. But no, I did number two. Church, you will notice about me, I never get distracted at all. I promise you, I can always find my way back. So that puts me a step ahead of a lot of pastors. So first, we break camp. And then number two, we've got to advance. And again, all of this sounds pretty like a no-brainer. Like, that's very makes sense. How else would we go anywhere? But after breaking camp, which can be the most difficult thing we do, we have got to advance. We have got to move forward. And advancing requires a commitment, a continual commitment to moving forward. All right? We can't let nostalgia in our personal lives, professional lives, as churches, organizations, this applies to all of it. We can't let that keep us from leaving the mountain and moving forward. And so Amy, I finally got the moving truck loaded. Okay. I finally broke camp and I got the chair, the TV, because that's all we have. It's been a really rough couple years. We've got it in the truck, but now I got to get it out of the driveway. I've got to get it out of the driveway, right? You got to advance. You got to go forward. Okay, we broke camp. We got to go forward now, all right? And look at what Jesus said. We're going back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Jesus requires us in following him to have this commitment to moving forward, this commitment to action. And you'll see in these verses, look, some of you are cheating. You're already reading. You guys are so advanced. We're going to see some overlap here with breaking camp, but we also see this commitment to action. Verse 23, and Jesus said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? So we see some elements of breaking camp here, but we also see this commitment to a daily advancing, a daily moving forward, this daily of picking up our cross, this daily decisions like, Jesus, I'm going to follow you today. I followed you on Saturday. This is Sunday. I'm going to follow you again today. Wherever you go, wherever you lead, I'm going to pick up the cross. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to deny myself. That cross is a symbol of death, symbol of torture. It's like, I'm going to deny myself, my dreams, my hopes, and I'm going to follow you into your dreams and what you have for me and your purposes. Daily commitment to moving forward. Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, he's writing, it says, I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. See, there's something that the Lord Jesus is calling us to. He's calling us forward. He's calling us to himself first and foremost, and he's calling us to participate in his kingdom and his purposes and his plans. And that requires a commitment to moving forward. It requires a commitment to advancing. And it's hard when we like where we're at. This is a little out of place, but I'm going to answer a question that somebody submitted. They said, okay, what scares you the most about this? And it's really a general answer. I'm scared to death of a church that's happy with where they're at. And I don't mean content, because there's a difference. I'm scared to death of a church that's like, you know, we're good with where we're at. You know, whether you're at 750 or 7,500, I don't care what it is, or 75 people, like, we're happy with where we're at. And I'm not saying you are. I don't sense that. But as a pastor, what scares me if a church says, we're happy we're at, we want to camp out here, and we don't want to go forward. And I'll be honest, I would rather do something else than pastor that group of people. And I know we have pastors in the room, and they probably can relate to that. But that, so check that off our list, Shannon. We got that one taken care of already. That scares me the most. And I don't sense that from you talking to people, but I ask a lot of questions through this process. And because the Lord is always calling us, first and foremost as believers, to himself, to his kingdom purposes and his kingdom plans. And it's a daily commitment to advancing and to moving forward. And so after the command to advance, the Lord tells the Israelites one last thing. He said, all right, you've broken camp. Many times the hardest part. You're moving forward. You're advancing. Now you got to take possession of the land. You got to take possession of the promise that I gave you. Thinking back to this moving illustration, and so I've broken camp. I've torn down the recliner and the TV. We got loaded. We're on the way. But it'd be like being the moving truck in the new driveway or in the new parking lot of a dorm. Students are like, now, okay, we're here, but we're not going to unpack. That's been too much. I've broken camp. I've advanced. I've arrived at the destination, but we're not going to take possession. It's just enough is enough. And we're just going to stay in the truck. We're going to stay in the SUV for a while. And it sounds ridiculous because you've done most of the hard work. But church, the work never stops in the kingdom. The work never stops. So after we've broken camp and we've advanced, we've got to take possession. We've got to unpack. We've got to move in the house. We've got to move in the dorm. We've got to get settled. We've got to move in. And so church, there is a future that the Lord has for you. It's a bright future. That doesn't mean there's not going to be challenges. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be battles to fight, because as the Lord was leading Israel from the mountain, there were still more battles to fight than they had fought up to this point. But in order to reach the promised land and to take possessions, they had to fight these battles. They had to follow the Lord into His promise and take possession of that. And taking possession can be a physical thing, but it's also very much a spiritual activity as you follow Jesus into this life in the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy. Timothy was Apostle Paul's apprentice, a young pastor, and Paul was a mentor to him. Look what he says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." You know, fight the good fight of faith. You have got to take hold of this. And this is not a salvation for works. Church, understand what I'm saying. We cannot be good enough or work hard enough to earn our salvation, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. These are people that have already committed their life to the Lord. They've already turned their back on the past. They've followed Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they've made that commitment. So this is post-conversion. I don't want you to understand what I'm saying. So, hey, the bald guy is preaching. We can earn our salvation. Then you've missed everything I've said. So I just want to be clear. That's not what I'm saying. But Paul is telling this young pastor, man, we've got to fight the good fight. We've got to take possession of this. Caden, is it something I said? Okay, God bless you. Have a good day. So there's this taking possession of what God has promised us. And we've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to fight the good fight. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus speaking, and I always found this to be an odd verse in Scripture. Jesus speaking says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and the violent have been seizing it by force." Listen, can I tell you, living for the Lord is not for the weak. Listen, we have wrongly portrayed living for the Lord in many, many places. Like it's all going to be unicorns and fairies and daisies and rainbows if we just, you know, apologize to the deity in the sky and everything's perfect. Well, I apologize that you've not opened your Bible, apparently. Okay? You guys understand what I'm saying? Okay, I'm sorry. If you can't take it straight like this, let me know now. We'll just go to lunch and God bless you. All right? That's not the life we were created to live. That's not the life that Christ is calling us into. All right? There will be battles to fight, but there is a promise to come. We're going to read about it in just a minute. Living for the Lord and following Him is not for the weak. It's not for the faint of heart. But there's many, many promises that we don't have to do it on our own strength. All right? But listen, church, but in the end, the battles are worth it when we're willing to make the move towards Him and His purposes. We finally reach the promised land. We see promises fulfilled. But even at that point, church, that doesn't mean we camp out there forever. Because until we're in eternity with our Lord and Savior, there's always mountains to leave. There's always battles to fight. There's always promises to be fulfilled. And we're not going to read it, but if you go into Hebrews chapter 11, some of the people that were lauded for their great faith, Scripture says they never saw those promises. Look it up, write it down, Hebrews 11. But it says they were always looking for something ahead. They always had this forward focus upon what was to come. And much of that was fulfilled in Christ, but much of it was in eternity with Christ as well. There's always this looking ahead and moving on. And that doesn't mean we're not content. That doesn't mean we're not grateful when the Lord does things. We celebrate that. We celebrate together. But there's always this moving ahead and moving forward. And listen, before I close, I want you to understand, this is not somebody coming in saying, "Church, you are so messed up, you've got to change everything." That's not what I'm saying, because listen, if we will all go forward as individuals and families, the church will take care of itself. If we are committed first and foremost to the kingdom of God and His purposes, and we're willing to move as individuals and as families, listen, Cornerstone will take care of itself. It will. It will be what the Lord wants it to be. And if we're here long enough, we will all see things that we have to move away from and change again. Because things never stay the same in the kingdom of God. All right? There's this constant moving forward. And so, I have a couple questions here as I close that I want to ask you. So let's make it personal to this morning. What is your mountain? And maybe you're not in that place where you've stayed somewhere too long, but maybe you are. What is your mountain? What is God asking of you in this moment? And I want to pray real quick before we go any further, okay? Father, this is your moment. I pray that you speak by your Spirit. God, there are many in this room, I believe, that you are challenging this morning and that you want to grab a hold of their lives. And you want to challenge them and you want to move them forward. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just speak right now. Speak in a way that they cannot ignore it. Speak in a way that changes us all, in Jesus' name. So as we look at these questions, what is your mountain? What is God asking you to do? It could be a big thing. It could be a little thing. Maybe the Lord's been laying upon your heart that there's a change of career coming and you've been hanging on to the past, because that's a scary thing. Maybe the Lord has been challenging some of you to pursue Him in ministry, but there's so much unknown with ministry. Maybe that sounds scary. You don't want to do that. Maybe the Lord's been challenging you to repair a relationship or something. And like, God, I don't know if I can let go of that pain. I don't know if I can forgive as you've forgiven me. I don't know that I can do that. Listen, church, I don't know what it is this morning, but maybe you're here and the Lord's asking you to do something that may seem very difficult. Maybe it may seem very, very hard or even impossible. But as we think about these two things, as we think about the challenges of breaking camp, advancing and taking possession, you know, the biggest thing, the biggest roadblock in any of these three situations, I think, would be fear. Like, oh God, what now? What now? And it's easy to read the history of Israel and see how many times they complained, how many times they were fearful in spite of all the miraculous supernatural things they encountered. And it's so easy for us, because we have the advantage of Scripture and looking back and go, just, man, how could they ever doubt the Lord? Man, they saw the waters part. Are you kidding me? God spoke from a mountain, man. He wrote on tablets. There weren't even pens then. He wrote on tablets. Water coming from a rock, that just doesn't happen. Maybe it does in South Dakota. I don't know. It doesn't where we're from. I don't. It's so easy for us to look back and judge them and go, how in the world could they ever doubt the Lord? But church, we do that all the time in our own lives. We let fear stop in our tracks, and maybe it's any one of these three steps of, God, I believe you're calling me forward. I believe you're challenging me. I believe you're trying to move me, but God, I'm scared. And I want to leave you with this morning, church. If there's one promise in the Bible that's consistent from the beginning to end, and there's a lot of promises, it's the promise that God is with His people. So we read the beginning of Deuteronomy. Here at the end, this transition from Moses to Joshua is becoming official. It's happening. Moses has reviewed the law. He's reviewed what God's instructed them to do. He's reviewed what God's instructed them not to do. But look at what he says here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 3 and 6. He says, "The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you." Right? They're camped out at the Jordan. They're waiting to cross. There's a lot of what ifs. They've already had a time of rebellion that's cost them a generation. And he says, "The Lord your God will cross over ahead of you." He says, "He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of the land. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." So that's the promise, church. We see that promise fulfilled in Jesus when He came. When He came, Emmanuel, God with us. That's His consistent promise. Listen, no matter what comes, I'm going to be the one that stands in the fire with you. I'm going to be the one that parts the waters. You're not going to avoid all the bad times, but I'm going to be there with you in the midst of the bad times. I'm going to be there with you in the midst of the challenges. That's the consistent promise. We don't make Him Lord and Savior and He removes all the obstacles, because then we would never grow. We'd be a bunch of spoiled, petulant children, really. We don't let our kids get their way because we want them to grow. But many times as believers, we complain to the Lord because we don't get our way. And He's trying to move us forward. He's trying to grow us. Right? And growth takes pain. You get many of you are familiar, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Kind of have a running joke in all my ministry. Like, that doesn't sound fun for the iron. Any men ever sharpen a knife? This is South Dakota. Come on, there's probably a few knives in the room, all right? Are you ever grinding your knife? See, sometimes I think about things very literally and a little bit odd. I look at the knife and go, that can't be fun for the knife. Nobody ever thinks, okay, I'm the only one that thinks that way? Thank you. This just got really awkward. We're trying to close and have this powerful moment. They're like, no, I don't care what the knife thinks. I'm going to grind that sucker down. Okay? But that's the image the Lord gives us in Proverbs. We sharpen each other, and that happens through friction. That happens through discomfort. That happens through pain. But the promise is, I will be with you in all the pain. I'll be with you in all the difficulty. I'll be with you when life happens and your world is turned upside down. I'll be with you. So this one promise is a thread throughout the entire Scripture, from the beginning of creation to the very end of Revelation. I will be with you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. So Cornerstone, that's my message to you today. God is with you. And he's challenging all of us, regardless of the place we find ourselves, that we got to break camp, advance, and take possession. And I believe that applies to you as a church. Okay? And I don't even know what breaking camp looks like here, okay? So I know some of you are probably a little nervous. That's all you heard this morning. What does that mean? I said, I don't know yet. We're not here. All right? But that means we are committed to moving forward with him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. And I want you to think about these last two questions. So what is your mountain? And some of you that you may not know, that may be a difficult question, but some of you know exactly what that is. Like, what is your mountain? What are you afraid to leave? What are you afraid to break down and move forward? What is God asking of you? Listen, if you're an unbeliever this morning, listen, you may be a skeptic, maybe you're away from the Lord, maybe you've never heard about Jesus. It doesn't matter, but you're in a moment here where your life is not the Lord's. But I want to tell you this morning, you were not an accident. You were not some cosmic accident that happened. You're a person created on purpose, for a purpose, and that purpose was to know God and to serve him. You weren't made to live haphazardly by your own instincts, your own desires, your thoughts. You were made to surrender all that to him and find purpose in him and meaning in him as you go forward with him. The Lord would say to you this morning that if you surrender your life to him, he promises to be there. In the good and bad times, he promises to be there always. And if you move towards him, he promises to move towards you. And maybe you're a longtime follower of Jesus. You find yourself in a situation this morning, maybe you've identified your mountain, and maybe it's just simply bringing your life in line with God's word. Maybe you've not been obedient in a certain area of your life. Maybe that's a calling. Maybe that's forgiving someone. Maybe that's making amends. Whatever that is in your life, it's time to move in step with him. It's time to bring your life completely in line with him. And maybe God has said move and you just haven't. Today is the day that you need to commit to breaking camp and following him. And so, listen, I don't know how normally you close, but I want to pray for you this morning. And just with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if I spoke to you this morning and you've heard all this and maybe some of it's unfamiliar, but you recognize in this moment you've been living for yourself and not for anything else, and you recognize you need to bring your life in alignment with the Lord and finally make him Lord and Savior. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hand real quick. I'd love to pray with you or talk with you. Have somebody in the church talk with you. Anyone here? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if anyone else here say, you know what, you were speaking to me today, Jason. There is something the Lord's asking me to do, and I have been hesitant to do it. But Lord has identified my mountain, and this morning I need to commit to moving with him. If that's you, why don't you just lift your hand real quick, wherever you're at. Come on, I know you're here. All right, all right. Anyone else? Okay, anyone else? Church, I know there's a bunch of anyone else. So I know what my mountain is, and I know the Lord is calling me to action. Anyone else? Thank you. Father, I just pray this morning that you would continue to move upon all of our hearts. Because it is so easy to get bogged down at a particular place in our pursuing you. And I pray that we would be able to see ourselves honestly, and that everyone's lives here would be in step with you. And those that lifted their hands, God, I pray that now that they've identified what you're asking them to do and they recognize where they're at, that you would empower them by your Spirit to move forward and to take action and to do what you need to do in their lives. And so, Lord, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for this church, and I pray that we would all move forward with you by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.